This is going to be just a wonderful time for us to get to know Mishka. Come on up. We're going to put you, this is the hot seat, we call it, where you have to sit so you can answer all the difficult questions. I told him we were going to ask him all the sorts of theological difficult questions, like what the baptism of the dead means in 1 Corinthians 15, and, you know, some of those, the backup. So we'll stay away from those, actually, but why don't we give our time to the Lord? Good to see all of you here tonight, and then we'll get to know Mishka a little better. Father, we are so grateful for your kindness and goodness to us. We're grateful for the power of the gospel, how that's been true in all of our lives, and that souls of men and women are the same all over the world, and the need is still the same for everyone to know the forgiveness of their sin found only in Christ. So I thank you for opening our eyes to that truth. Thank you for Mishka, who's here with us, and his son, and Simeon. Lord, thank you for the willingness for his family to let them spend time with us this weekend, and pray that you would care for his family in a special way while he's away. But we give our time to you tonight and the services of the Lord's Day to you for your glory and for our good. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Mishka, welcome, and we've talked via Zoom before, I guess, with our elders and so forth, but this is the first time to meet him face-to-face and to have him part of our church, so we're looking forward to the Lord's Day tomorrow, but we just wanted to get to know him a little bit better tonight, so these are all really easy questions. We call these softballs. You know, we just give you a softball, and it's really easy to hit a home run with these questions, but they're all just about you and your ministry and family. So first of all, why don't you tell us just how you came to know Christ, just your testimony.
Yeah. So my name is Mishka Wilhelmsen, and I was born in Finland, born and raised there. And I grew up in not in a Christian family, although when I was born, my mom and dad were members of the Eastern Orthodox Church in Finland. The reason they were part of that was that my dad was into New Age and mysticism, and he was intrigued by the mysticism in that, so that's why they... Anyway, so I was sprinkled as a baby in that system, but apart from some superficial connection, there wasn't any real Christianity in our family. My mom and dad divorced when I was then about 7 years old, and my mom became a believer before me, although very poorly taught, going to different charismatic meetings and such. I went with her also to some of those, and I did not become a believer through that process exactly then, but one more thing about my life before I became a believer. As a young man, I was first into the hip-hop and graffiti culture, and then reggae music, Rastafarianism, and that kind of culture. And especially in the reggae music culture, if you imagine, I had dreadlocks and everything. Nowadays,
we're trying to imagine that.
Nowadays I got short hair and longer beard. But in that music culture, reggae music is usually very spiritual, very deeply spiritual, and a lot of Bible references and such. Although it is twisted, it's a perversion of biblical truth. But in that context, I became more religious and interested in that, and I would have even said that I believed in Jesus to some degree, and kind of understand some superficial understanding of Jesus and the Bible, but not a true understanding of that. And I thought of myself as a righteous man in that sense. In reggae music, especially, there's a lot of this, which is taken from the Book of Psalms and other, the righteous and the wicked and stuff. But it's without the biblical context, and it's in a kind of a self-righteous.
It's what the world does see that as a spirituality.
Yeah.
It's a certain kind of spirituality.
Yeah.
That people get caught up in.
Yeah. But then about what would it be now, about 17 years ago or so. I can't say that there wasn't like one day that I can kind of everything changed, but I started understanding more what the actual gospel was and who Jesus really is, and that I'm not a righteous man. In fact, I'm a rotten, sinful man inside and to the core, that my thoughts and desires and attitudes have been sinful against God, and that I need forgiveness and salvation and what it really means that Jesus, who he is and what he came to do, and that I need this Savior. So there was different things, different events that happened there, and I remember watching some Christian TV, which I do not necessarily recommend. I was even skipping the hotel room, the TV here. I saw some Christian stuff, and I know most of it's not good here, and most of it's not good in Finland either. But in God's providence, there are enough little nuggets of truth here and there, and through that process, I think it was about 3 months or so, like different things began to change, and understanding the gospel more, I believe I was then converted. And things followed from that. But that's kind of the,
how did your parents and people like that around you see all that? What was their opinion of that?
Yeah. So I was still then living with my mom, she was very supportive. Again, she had started going to Christian meetings before that, and she started seeing a difference in me, in that sense that I was now more just home and on my own. I wasn't so much with my old friends anymore. I started seeing a disconnect. Not that I liked my friends, I was thankful for them, but some of the things we used to do, and even the language we used or whatever, I didn't feel at home anymore in that context. So I think for the first that year, I was most of the time I was alone. I didn't really have the old friends anymore, and I didn't have new friends yet either, Christian friends. And there was this kind of overlap. I did a lot of just listening to sermons and some radio program, nowadays called Wretched Radio, if some of you might know. Back then it was Way of the Master Radio, and that was kind of what really helped me in my understanding of biblical truths and introduced me to MacArthur and these kind of guys. So my mom was, happy and supportive. Friends kind of, so what's happening with you kind of a thing. And my mom and dad was divorced, so my dad was further away in a different city, so he didn't really kind of see that. My dad was in that sense supportive, because he was all into all kind of, again, religious mysticism and stuff, so he's not against me being religious. Although then later on there was problems when I actually confronted him with, biblical truth and the gospel, and there was certain difficulties with that later on then with my father, but yeah.
Now, were you going to school or pursuing education then at that time, and you were single, so you met your wife somewhere along the way. Yeah. How did all that happen?
Yeah, so at the point when so in Finland there's like you have to do like military service as a man, but you can also do what's called civil service. So if you're like a pacifist or for whatever reason you can like refuse and serve, for example, in a library or a hospital or something like that. And I had made that decision before I was a Christian then, and because I was into reggae music and all this and kind of being a pacifist without knowing why I necessarily was a pacifist. I'm not a pacifist anymore, by the way, but then I was, and I made the decision not to go to the army, but then at the beginning of my civil service period, that's when I then became a Christian, and I was working in a library for a year, and in God's providence, I had just a lot of time, so in my free time and also in my work time, I was basically the janitor at a library and did all kind of stuff. So I had to be there to lock up and open up. But then I had many hours just to, go and do some checkup rounds and then sit and wait. So I listened to these podcasts and sermons. And I remember had some papers. I was scribbling. There was some drama like a drama hall, like theater thing, and I had to be waiting there, whatever. And then I was like writing down on paper Calvinism, Arminianism, and I was trying to figure out what are these things and learning all these kind of new things. But that was the context, what I was then doing. And so, I was doing the civil service thing. After I was done with that, they offered me a job to continue working there. But at that point, I had found out that there's a church about 3 hours away that had published some of MacArthur's books in Finnish. And I'd visited them a few times, and I decided I'm going to move there to be part of that church. So then I moved, and that's the church that I'm now pastoring.
Wow. So about what year was that you moved to that church?
Like 2008, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still single at that time? Okay.
Yeah, still
so,
single.
So you were there, then just growing?
Yeah.
Serving?
Yeah, so yeah, my plan was I'll go there. And at that point, I already knew about TMS, and I knew TMS was selling some of their courses in like DVD packages, you know. So one of my plans was, I'm going to buy one of these packages, DVDs. I'm going to sit at home and like do some of these like lectures. I'm going to be in the church, and then I'm looking for work also at this. I'd done like a basic degree in media at that point. But that was my plan. So get plugged into church and maybe do like a video course at TMS. We ended up doing a video course also with the pastor and some other people in the church. But then there was also an opportunity. My pastor, Tom Ruhkala, who is an American missionary who came to start the church there and served faithfully in Finland for 38 years, I think he was, yeah. And so he then, I'd been at the church maybe 1 year, and there was an opportunity for me to come to Shepherd's Conference, and so he set that up. Then I ended up going to I visited Shepherd's Conference. Then we started more thinking about maybe I could come to the college, master's college or master's seminary at some point. But at that point, I didn't have any bachelor degree, and they encouraged if under 30 year old that you do a bachelor degree. So then I came back to Finland. I saw that they had a bachelor degree in media that was in English. And even though media doesn't have anything directly to do with theology, it would give the academic requirements. So then I applied for this degree in the city where I was living in Tampere, and started that and did that program then for the next 4 years.
So did you grow up then learning English along the way? Because this program was in English. Was that a huge challenge for you, or you were already fluent in English?
Yeah, I would say I was quite fluent, but it did help me. I thought also that it will help me prepare for seminary later on. So even though media is more than practically about learning certain skills and stuff, but there was also writing and some reading and things like that. So it did help. But it was a little bit of a... So there's one thing to know enough kind of conversational English, but then it's like, oh, I haven't read any books, or you know, I don't know how to write. So... that was kind of new. In Finland, you learn basic English in school, and then obviously the movies and music and things like this you pick up.
Likewise, we all learn Finnish in school here.
Same
thing. We understand.
At least in northern Michigan, that's what I've heard. But I guess you're far enough from northern Michigan.
I don't know how many Finnish-speaking people there are here in North Carolina. I haven't met any yet. So you finished that degree then?
I finished that degree.
Now, we're still curious. Are you still single during all that time?
I'm still single. So the last...
That's what we really want to know. How did you meet your wife?
That's a good question. When I still had one and a half year left of my... that bachelor degree in media, I met my wife. And my wife is from England. She was born and raised in England, and she came as an exchange student to Finland as a nurse, studying a nurse degree, and she came to our church. Our church was then only English-speaking, like an international church, and she came to our church, and that's when we met. So I was just a young man member. I was not a pastor, obviously, then. So that's when we met, and since you're interested, I'll tell you some of the details.
We want to know. A light came down from heaven, and then on her head, and you saw that. And
not quite. This is not some Disney story. This is real. So she came to our church, and she was in Finland for 4 months, and she was coming to our church for that whole time. And for basically the whole 4 months, we would meet and see, and even though our church was very small, just like less than 20 people at that point, 15 people, most of the time, then after the service, we'd have coffee time and fellowship time, but it almost ended up always. The men would sit in one table and the women at one. There was no rule, but this just happened naturally. And so we just didn't, I would see her and didn't, there were people come and go and exchange students. And so no light from the sky, nothing, on either side. In fact, if anything, I thought a little bit the opposite, not about her, but I thought she might think about me, because one of the first Sundays she was at our church, or like maybe the third Sunday, where she knew that I was going to be preaching one Sunday. It was one of my first times I'd preached. And she'd said, see you next Sunday or something, and she knew that I was going to preach. And then the next Sunday, when it was time for me to preach, I noticed that that young lady from the UK was not there. And I thought maybe it was because she knew I was going to preach. Then later on, I found out she'd actually been on some university trip thing, and they'd arrived later than she thought, and she couldn't come because of that. But then it was the last week or last 2 weeks of her stay in Finland. One older couple in our church, who I know very well, and an older English gentleman, Bill was his name. He's now with the Lord. But they had invited Allison to lunch after church at their place, and then kind of as a afterthought, or at least that's how he presented it to me. I'm not sure how long he'd been planning this, but he was like, "Hey, Miska, you're a single man. Why don't you come also? You have nowhere to go or eat, so just you come along and eat also." So I was like, "Sure, I'll come." So then Allison and me, we were both at their house, and they were then preparing the food. And it seems like the preparation of the food took longer than average. And we were in the living room and then, talking. And that's when the lights came on, so to say. And I'm like, whoa, this young woman, she's like hearing her testimony, how she became a Christian. So I got interested in that. But then it was like, she's going back in like a week's time. So I was like, too bad. Since I'm telling the story, the other part of that, so it's like, okay, but that was just a little bit. Okay, my interest was kind of opened at this point. The next Sunday, I saw her at church, and I walked her to the bus stop. I was going to walk her to the bus stop, but then the bus had already gone. She missed her bus. And so, oh no, she missed her bus. And I was like, well, we could walk. It's only like, half an hour walk or something. And she'd asked me about some picture I'd taken of some lake or something. I was like, and I could show you, the lake or whatever. And then we had this impromptu date, because she missed her bus. Then after that, we were especially both of us like, we should have done this earlier, and she was like leaving in 2 days. But
eventually, you got it led to marriage eventually.
Eventually.
What year did you get married?
That's a good question. 11 years ago, whatever year that was. So she went back to the UK. She was living in Wales. And she said, if you ever want to come and visit, you know, there's a place for you to stay there, da da da. And so then I booked my tickets, and was it maybe a month and a half after that, went to visit, spent the weekend there, met with her pastor and some of her friends, things, came back to Finland, started looking for a ring to buy, bought a ring. A few months after that, she came and visited Finland, and I proposed. So we'd only, in the time we dated, and in the meantime, we did a lot of video calls and, you know, talking a lot, but we'd only been in the same country as, you know, dating or courting for, I think, less than 2 weeks or, you know, something like that before we got engaged. Yeah, it's great. So
that's wonderful. Yeah. So you went and got that degree because you were thinking at some point then going to the master's seminary for further training. And so you came, what year to the master's seminary?
2014. We were talking about that just earlier.
Yeah, now, so you were there during this time.
Yeah, I had just finished my MDiv. We thought we were going to be out there longer. So I had enrolled in the THM Master of Theology program. And in fact, I remember some point, I think in the early summer, or right before classes started, walking into the library and seeing someone standing there as a new worker, this guy with dreadlocks and this long... No, you didn't have it then. But coming across and meeting you for the first time, and it might have even have been at some part of the new student orientation. At the time, I was helping with the membership pastor at Grace, and we were trying to help new students get acquainted and even understand, you know, lots of churches that you could go to while you're at Master's Seminary, but obviously you could consider staying and going and becoming a member at Grace Community, and there might have been a little bit of overlap in that process, but then I think y'all landed in... we were in Grace Life, the fellowship group, and then y'all landed, was it in Faith Builders?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So a little bit of an overlap, and then it was soon in that time that the Lord and his providence then brought us back here. But in all of that, though, you had mentioned to me earlier, there was a period of time that you lived in Wales that then some Christians that you were connected with. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So then, when I proposed to my wife, she said yes, and then we're planning the wedding. But we got married in Wales. So I did my last year of my bachelor degree, which was like kind of there was part of a practical training and then like a final kind of project. So I did that by a distance while living in Wales. So I moved to Wales a few months before our wedding. And then we got married, and then I was doing that. I was doing like a practical training as a graphic designer for the Evangelical Movement of Wales, which is in Wales kind of the major Reformed Evangelical kind of a fellowship with the churches do things together there. So I was working for them and doing that final kind of like a thesis on starting your own graphic design business thing, and that's what I was doing. And so then we lived there for 2 years, or I lived there 2 years. My wife had lived there longer in Wales, and it was a blessed time in many ways. So just being in a different culture and a great church there, Emmanuel Baptist Church, we were part of, and learning that there also, and just seeing even in a short time as working, even though I was doing graphic design and video work and stuff, got to see a lot of things with Welsh Christianity and things like that. So it was a good time, a blessed time. I'm thankful for that. And relating to even TMS and how that... So my plan was then for many years, I'd go to TMS and I was doing, like you said, a degree so that I would be able to do that. But then I met my wife, and my wife was fine with going to live in Finland for the rest of her life, because that was kind of like my calling. I want to be in Finland and serve the church in Finland. She was fine with that, but this thing in between of going all the way to America, you know, she wasn't too excited about that. And so then we talked about it, and it's just like, it just seemed like too much, you know. And then we decided, I'm like, okay, it's all right, we won't go to America. I'll, you know, there's a good school there in Wales, Cardiff, and nowadays it's called Union School of Theology. Then it was West Wales Evangelical School of Theology. It's a good, you know, Reformed Evangelical school. You know, I wanted to go to TMS specifically because of like a strong kind of eschatology, premillennialism and all that, which I really appreciated, but which wouldn't be in this school. But, you know, so then I said, okay, let's do it. We'll stay here. It'll be okay, you know. And so we decided that, actually. But then in God's providence, Tom Dreon, maybe, do you know Tom Dreon? He's a British guy pastoring now in London and studied at TMS also. Anyway, we visited Tom for some other things. I was doing some gospel tracts they were using, and then we started talking about just going to TMS, and he then kind of convinced my wife in a roundabout way. We were talking about the different things, and as we left Tom's place, my wife turned to me and said, maybe we should reconsider going to TMS. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So it was, you know, and now she kind of saw more the value of it. And it was a sacrifice, but now she would be like, she's very thankful. Thankful that we did it. You know, it wasn't easy, but it's great that we did it and very thankful. And yeah.
Could you even... obviously, Los Angeles is going to be very different than Finland. Mm. But when you landed in LAX, what was a bit of that culture shock that even you and your wife are trying to make your way about, that it was just so different than what you were used to?
Yeah, so I had been at two Shepherd's conferences and also one, the Strangefire conference, before. So in that sense, I'd seen a little bit at least, which I think if I'd never been, it would have been right in my face more. But obviously, it's then different to actually live there. And I think, you know, it was much more difficult for my wife because she tends to worry more about things, about practicalities like finances and paperwork and things, which I'm somewhat neglectful of, somehow oblivious, you know. I don't know, so maybe I should think about those things more also. And obviously then I'm like full on then in seminary, and I'm working part-time also, and you know, I'm just, my head is full of all that stuff. So it was much more difficult for my wife. She was pregnant then with our first child, and she's more at home. So the first half year was very difficult. And the big thing was with all the, even just the way the kind of insurance things, all the everything is a little bit different in a different culture, like the paperwork and things and buying a car and figuring things out. And culture, even though it's the language is the same, like UK and America, it's just very different. So yeah, for the first half year, I think my wife has said this publicly, so it's not even a secret, but I think she pretty much cried every day for the first half year, really. She did, you know, and it was just very difficult and kind of emotionally, and a part of that was probably being pregnant also, and kind of more, even more emotional. But then kind of things, you know, the dust settled, and it was a great blessing. Like, my wife received basically a seminary training also, you know, with the same wives and just the fellowship and friendships. And she has more active friends still to this today from those times than I do. from like, she does this every other week or sometimes even every week, like this Zoom call with some of the ladies she met there. And, you know, she has all kind of things connected. So, yeah, it was a blessed time.
Which, you were sharing a little bit just as we were talking earlier, obviously, to relocate to LA, I mean, this is true for any seminary student. That can be a very challenging period, even financially. You're trying to go to school full time. You're trying to juggle all these things. There was maybe a bit of a challenge, but then a very, very sweet way that the Lord provided for y'all. Could you tell us a little bit about the unique provision?
Yeah.
Maybe changing town slightly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just mentioned this to Danny earlier today, and it was, I think, one of those kind of moments that sticks out in my mind. Well, there were a few, but one of them is this. And that first half a year, we lived in New Hall there in Los Angeles, but we were running out of savings, like the money that we had, more and more. And on one specific day, my wife had been really looking at our finances and all that, and she'd been thinking, oh man, like, well, how are we going to do this? And when Miska comes home, I need to talk with him about this, that we can't keep on going like this. You know, something, I don't know, something needs to kind of change here. That same day, I got a phone call from an older man. His name is Mr. Vickers. He's now with the Lord. An older man who had like this, he had an apartment complex that he'd bought, and he rented the whole apartment complex to master seminary students in this really nice neighborhood for a really cheap price. And I'd put my name on the list. There was a long waiting list because, well, almost everyone wanted to get there because it's a good place and very cheap rent. And I was like, well, I'll put my name. We'll probably never get there anyway. So he then contacted me that day and said, like, there's an opening. Like, are you interested? And I was like, yeah, you know. So we're going. And basically, in actual practice, then it would have been like just someone saying that. Essentially, that's what he was saying, is like, I'm going to support you for the rest of your seminary with like at least $800 a month. In that sense, the savings that we made from the rent, maybe even more. And so then I called my wife, and you know, she's like crying and because she's been thinking about this thing. So in the same day as she's been really worrying about this, then God answered that prayer, and it was a great blessing in many ways, just financially. And it was some of those neighbors we had there, other seminary families are still some of the, you know, closest contacts we have there. And so yeah, that's one example that sticks out.
Well, I know your time there to train theologically was very helpful for you and rewarding, but the day came then you graduated, and so your plans were always then to go back to Finland. Mm. And so you went back to the church where you are now. Mm. And how do you say the name of the town? Tampere?
Tampere.
Tampere.
That's what I said. Yeah.
I speak Finnish.
Yeah.
But so you go back there.
Yeah.
And what was your role when you went back?
Yeah, so my pastor, who's an American missionary, Tom Ruhkala, so he was still there and pastoring the church. So and that was the plan for me, to come there and continue the ministry and to be the first like national pastor in the church.
We're putting pictures up while you're speaking. So.
Oh yeah. So that's where we went back. So for the first year, Tom was still there, and so I was working alongside him, and he was giving me more, you know, responsibilities and all that. So we were together. So I was kind of assistant pastor, so to say. They were then preparing to move back to America and retire, which they did then, like a year, within a year of us coming back, and then I was on my own.
Well, let's talk about then ministry and life in Finland. I mean, life there is normal for you. We would not, you know, understand what it's all about. What are the challenges there in ministry? And tell us about the church and how it's doing and life and ministry there in Finland.
Yeah, so yeah, like it's the basics of life in some ways is the same anywhere. Obviously, culture change is different and circumstances are different, but the same basic problems, human sinfulness and the need for the gospel. In church context, then, I guess the challenge, Finland is a Lutheran country by history, and I'm thankful for the Lutheran heritage, a lot of good things, and at least back in the day. Nowadays, almost all of it is rank liberal, and it's not really Lutheran. It's called the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland, but it's not evangelical, and it's not Lutheran. It's not really even a Christian church as such. There are some faithful still and some smaller groups, but you got Lutheranism and then you got Pentecostalism and Charismaticism in some form or another. These are the things. So then in the context of us being like a Baptist church and being a kind of a actually preaching the Bible and not being charismatic, not being Lutheran, and these kind of things. So people are very and very small. Like we'd have just a handful of people, you know, less than 10 people on a Sunday. That even just a few, you know, 5 years ago. And so I think that was maybe one of the challenges, just even like trying to kind of build, in that sense, a church. People are very suspicious. Even believers are very suspicious. And what is this thing? Is this American thing? What, you know, what? And that's one of the difficulties, obviously, my pastor has had then. And then being even an American, and like as a missionary, like there's a lot of suspicion and what that is something strange about this. So that's been, I guess, one challenge. Now in recent years, yeah, our church has been growing. Like we moved into a bigger location and can continue to grow. We've kind of gone over a certain threshold, so to say. So now that the person comes to our church, I was, oh, there's a lot of other people here also. So we're still, we're not some kind of mega church or anything, but there's at least people there. So the church is a lot stronger and there's more interest, and through the internet people are hearing about it, and people are hearing about, also people are listening even to American preachers like MacArthur or Paul Washer or R.C. Sproul or these kind of things, and some of them then come to our church, they've already been listening to a lot of this stuff, and then they know how to kind of appreciate that. Or they listen to, even now that we put our sermons in Finnish, you know, those are beginning to, people find them helpful and listen to them. But so I guess, I'm thinking of what kind of, I mean, there's obviously challenges and ups and downs in
life is your ministry, are you preaching, then you're preaching expositionally?
Yeah.
On Sundays, are you preaching in Finnish or English or both?
Both, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Could you just walk us through what's a Sunday morning like if we were to show up at Grace Baptist Church, Tampere?
Yeah. So Sunday, so at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, we have a children's Sunday school, which my wife teaches, and also another lady has been helping recently, and so. That is Sunday school for the children starting at 9 o'clock. I go and pick up one of our members, an elderly lady from Helsinki. She comes all the way from a different city by train. She comes, so I get her from the train station. People start showing up at church and getting things ready. And then at 10 o'clock we have our English service, which would just I assume similar to here, we'd sing songs, have scripture reading, have the sermon, and then regularly communion. So that would be from 10 to about 12. Then from 12 to 1:30, we have like food times, fellowship. Every Sunday we have like potluck and coffee and stuff. We used to have only coffee time, and like a cake or coffee or something. But then when we started having like these two services, and also some people come long distance for the whole day, so it was like, well, we need to eat. and I'm there the whole day, and I need to eat, and others. So it was like, well, let's just do fellowship meal every Sunday. And so it's been a blessing. We've been doing that. And so that's from 12 to 1:30. And so people from the English service, almost everyone stays for that time, and people discuss and such. And then some people who come to the Finnish services, which is later, they can come early. So there's like an overlap of fellowship, and that's on purpose so that there would be overlap. So then at 2 o'clock, we have a Finnish service. And so about 4 o'clock.
Are you preaching the same sermon both times, one in English, one in Spanish?
Usually I preach different. So sometimes if I'm doing like series, like a shorter series on like a more like a topical, like I did a series on baptism or spiritual gifts, or recently like relating to the dangers of preterism. So then I did it in both the same. But otherwise, like this last Sunday, in the English, I preached Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and then in English, or in Finnish, Genesis 22. But I have preached what I'm preaching in Finnish, Genesis 22, I preached in English about 2 years ago. So I'm not doing completely two new sermons. That would be a little too much for me every Sunday. But I'm working through material that I've done 2 years ago.
I'm trying to imagine, yeah. You know, we have two services, but they're both in English as far as I can tell. So I'm trying to imagine switching like that, you know, in your own mind. So do you find is still Finnish the more natural for you? Because that's your first language. Really? So
no,
English is?
English is, yeah. Yeah. Actually, my real mother tongue is Swedish. So it's even more complicated. And it's actually the weakest language that is. So this has been at not so much anymore, but at one point in my life, in Christian life, I had a little bit like the identity crisis, like, what language do I pray in? And like, what language do I think in? And, you know, like, because Swedish is my mother tongue, and then there's Finnish, and now there's English. I read everything in English, I hear in English, and I know the language in English and all that. But yeah, basically, English is my strongest language in that sense that if I have to write something, it's easiest for me to write it in English. And my vocabulary is the widest in English. Then Finnish after that, and then Swedish is the weakest, because even though it's my mother tongue, and even though I went to like up until whatever you call high school, up until I did Swedish speaking school, before I was a Christian, I didn't care about school at all. So, you know, I just barely made it. I was not interested at all. So even though I went through school, didn't do any reading, and therefore my vocabulary is very limited, and my mother speaks Finnish also, and so we have like a big mixture between Finnish and Swedish. You know, if I forget some word, I say it in Finnish and things. So, yeah. But
how large a town or what size town are you in?
Yeah, so Tampere is about about 300,000. People. So what was Winston-Salem is 250, what did you say? Or something?
I think it was around that.
Yeah, yeah.
If you take the wider region.
Yeah.
Something.
So I think it's something, yeah, I think it's around the same, like especially if you do that wider area of Tampere, it might even be more than 300, or then it might be slightly less than 300 if you do just the kind of the center. Actually, most of the people in our church come from about a 1 hour, 1.5 radius around Tampere. So there's only, well, maybe half or less than half who come actually from the town of Tampere. So
how do people find out about your church?
So somehow through the internet usually. Yeah, either it's that people are looking specifically for an English-speaking church, and they might just come because it's English-speaking, they might not theologically really know, and then they either stay or they don't stay, depending on, you know, because there are some other English-speaking churches, and then they might go to a more charismatic one, which is maybe what they're more comfortable with. But nowadays, especially with the Finnish service, people are nowadays, they're coming because they've heard about, they know like what we kind of represent. They've maybe listened to multiple sermons already online.
So you've got sermons through media on the internet that people can listen to.
Yeah, especially on YouTube. Yeah, like, especially the Finnish sermons are, I would say, quite important in that sense on YouTube, because in English there's so much good stuff available, you know, in whatever world-class preachers in every topic you can imagine. But in Finnish there isn't much.
I can see how then that would be a real burden, you know, to want that as a pastor, that, yeah, to minister to the Finnish-speaking people who maybe don't have access to the English side of that, to provide resources for them and solid Bible teaching, yeah.
Yeah. So that's really kind of that media aspect, which is just basically putting the sermons on YouTube, but it's really like taken off. If you imagine, like our in the English or Finnish service, at most maybe there would be like 30 adults. That would be at most, and then plus kids. But then the sermon is put on YouTube, and almost all the sermons nowadays, when I go and look at there, like within a week, there probably is like 300 views or at least 200 views. Some of them like 1,000 or something. So it's like, oh, there's people who are like listening to these, and they might be far away in towns that there isn't, you know, kind of churches that are preaching these kind of things.
And so tell us about that. Then in the whole nation, is your church a rarity as far as Finland goes?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. So there's a handful now of like-minded churches, and there's growing. But the fact that people have to come like an hour and a half away, you know, tells you obviously that they didn't find anything suitable closer by, kind of a thing. And then there are people who message me from other cities. Is there anything you can recommend here? And then it's like, oh, sadly not. And, you know, plans. So, yeah, there is a handful. What would I say? So there's more and more now, and there's some church plants. So not identical. So we'd have differences in, especially in eschatology with some of these churches. But they would be faithful gospel preaching, you know, like in somewhat reformed, like Baptistic churches that are in different parts of Finland, and some of them we do close things together with and we're encouraged. And then there are other good kind of faithful ones. I mean, there's some good and faithful conservative Lutherans, which I would disagree with a lot of things, but at least they believe the Bible and there's real believers there, but that is kind of a different context, yeah.
And you were mentioning earlier, with a few of those churches in recent years, you guys have established a bit of a network, or even denomination.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we started with two other churches, this network, denomination thing. So it in Finland, it even gives us certain, like, rights in the eyes of the law, which is helpful and good, as like we're formally recognized as churches, and then it just helps us. We've been doing things together, but it encourages us in that. So it's we've been doing that, and I'm actually the what is called chairman of that thing. And we have like a summer camp coming up in 2 weeks' time, so we do a summer camp together. So most people from our churches and also from outside of our churches come to that, and we have meetings between the pastors, and so that's been an encouragement.
Do you have other men alongside you that are helping you in the ministry as far as other elders there in the church?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm still the only elder, but I do have men. There's two men in particular. I don't know if there was here, this picture. So the man in the middle, Lauri, and then the man on the right, Henry. So those two are elder candidates in our church at the moment, and they've been faithfully serving in that. And God willing, well, we'll see how it goes. But you know that they will be future elders here alongside me in the church. So very thankful for them. And this picture is we have this Grace Bible Institute, or Armon Raamattuopisto in Finnish. So May this year, the men graduated, and these are all men from our church. So also Jere and Markku, who've been serving as deacons in our church.
So tell us about that institute. What are they learning? How long a program is it?
So we did 2.5 years, and it's like very part-time. So basically the idea was I tried to distill what I thought would be the most essential and crucial things that I could pass on that I have benefited, you know, in seminary. And obviously it's just a very introductory version of seminary, but, you know, very, very crucial things. So we didn't do any of the original languages and things like that, but we did, you know, basic survey of Old Testament, New Testament, hermeneutics, biblical manhood, prayer, preaching, biblical counseling, we read, for example, Michael Vlach's book on the kingdom of God, so like a biblical theology of the kingdom of God, what is the church, these kind of topics. And a big part of that was, so we would meet once a month for a Saturday together, face-to-face, and a big part was just that kind of face-to-face interaction and praying together, sharing our lives, because in some sense, like, if it was just about the information, I could just give them a long list of, you know, I don't know, watch these lectures from Master Seminary or read these books, which would be great, and they could benefit a lot. And they did read books, they did have to write essays, but a big part of was that, just that camaraderie, yeah, so that's what we did, and it was a blessing.
So are you doing most of the teaching then in the Bible?
Yeah, I was doing the teaching, but I also had like visiting professors. So some of them we had like in person, but also quite a few online. So we had like Jeff Thomas. We did one time. We were talking with Jeff Thomas, a pastor in Wales. So Jeff did one time with us and just talked about pastoral life and ministry and wisdom. And then we had Michael Vlach and what's his name? Paul, guy who wrote, no, I can't think of it, Paul Henneberry, Words of the Covenant, wrote a very good book on that. And then we had Bill Shannon about biblical counseling and some of these things. So that was... Todd Dykstra, right?
Todd Dykstra is one of our Expositor Seminary campuses up in Grand Rapids, and he's been there.
Yeah. So that was one of the highlights of this whole like program. So we did just about a year ago. They came and visited us in Finland, and we did like 1 week kind of intensive, or a little less than a week, but with these men.
I was going to ask you, do you have? We're going to pray for you and want to hear something about your family here in just a moment. But are there other slides that they would scroll through real quick that you could show us here? The slides? Are there some more slides?
There should be, yeah. I think there's some images of family.
Hit some of those. Let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, 4 children.
5.
5 boys.
Oh.
We're going to pray for your wife.
It's that higher math. It throws me off sometimes. Keep going. So see what slides he has here. That one's very self-explanatory. Yeah. I think we got that one.
Yeah.
But you can memorize some of those addresses. Yeah. So 5 children. Your oldest is how old?
9.
So 9 down to?
Almost 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then
Simeon, the second oldest, is here.
We met Simeon.
He's a little shy.
So how can we pray for you and your family and all that's going on there in life and ministry?
Yeah, so you can pray for my wife. She homeschools our boys, and with 5 boys, you can imagine it's very life is
actually
busy.
I can't imagine that, but. Some of our folks can.
It's very, very busy and chaotic at times, or most of the time. And pray for our children that they would grow up and love Christ and believe in Him. For me, just to continue faithfully as a father, a husband, as a pastor, and. For our church, specifically for the men, Lauri and Henry, as they are serving and helping alongside me and in the elder candidate process, and just in general for our church wisdom. I mean, there's always ups and downs and difficulties and things in ministry, and there's a lot of encouraging things and discouraging things, and. So wisdom and guidance.
It's a church. Normal blessings, normal challenges.
Yeah. No, exactly. So, but yeah, so things are generally, though, well, and very, very thankful for it, and a lot of exciting things. And
Are you the only master seminary graduate in Finland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. My last curiosity question. Mm. So, does your wife speak Finnish as well?
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Finnish is a very difficult language, they say. Although somehow even the little kids can figure it out in Finland. So I don't know. They seem to be able to learn it. No, but it's very difficult. And obviously, my wife has been busy with, you know, giving birth to children and being a mother. So, you know, it's learning the language hasn't been the first priority, rightly so. But it's a difficult language. So, yeah, you can pray for her even as she, you know, juggles that alongside many other things in life.
Yeah. Wonderful. I think Danny's going to lead in prayer for all of that.
Yeah, we'd love to. And we're very thankful, Miska, for you, for Simeon, that you could take time away to travel here. We had relayed as well to your wife. We're thankful for her willingness to share you with us this weekend. And all the more, we want to be praying for what the Lord's doing there in Finland. Very encouraged by that. Why don't we pray? Father in heaven, we bow before you. And even tonight, just a glimpse of the global work that you are doing that is always going on, that you've promised to build your church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. We're so thankful for that promise. There's so much, Lord, that we look out and we see in the news that discourages us. But then we hear an update and a report like this. We hear how gospel ministry is taking place all around the world. And to hear tonight what's happening in Finland, we rejoice over this, Lord. We do pray for the ministry of Grace Baptist, that you would continue to bring your sheep who are searching for the shepherd's voice, bring them to this ministry that they might learn and be taught the Bible. We pray for these two elder candidates that you would further equip them and help them to shepherd the flock of God there among them. We pray for their evangelistic testimony, even in a country that at one point many had known you and were connected with evangelical Lutheranism, but now so many have strayed far from you. We pray that the gospel would go forth triumphantly, that many would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray for the Wilhelmsons. We pray even for Allison, that you would help her in her important role, helping as a wife and as a mom and homeschooling all of these boys. We thank you for these boys. We pray that you would draw them to yourself and save them. And then even in them, you would raise up future Finnish pastors that could take the gospel baton into the next generation. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have this weekend to remember and to focus upon global missions. So, Lord, even as we anticipate the Lord's Day tomorrow, we ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word. We ask this for our Savior's sake. Amen.